Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Lamed. We begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the discussion about explaining the Mishnah that was in the bottom of Chavtes Mabez. Now, throughout the Masechta, there's a large machlokes between Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda regarding the specific intent and goal of the Malachas, of what it has to be, what it has to encompass. One specific area of that machlokes is regarding what's known as Malachas She'in Tzricha L'Gufa, regarding a labor that's not needed for its defined purpose. In other words, I'm doing a malacha, for example, the case we're going to be talking about regarding mechaba, extinguishing, but not for the productive purpose. I don't really need extinguishing. I just want to take away or create or alleviate a different issue, and that will help through doing this malacha. That's considered, I'm doing a malacha, but it's not needed for its own specific intent. It's needed for something else. That's a machalik between Reb Shimon and Yehuda, if that is considered a malacha deraisa or not. So our Gemara begins now. From the fact that the end of our Mishnah, there was a Reisha and the Sefer, the first half was saying the cases when the person is potter for extinguishing the candle, the Sefer was talking about cases when the person would be liable for putting out the candle. So from the fact that the Sefer said that those cases were one that person is liable for karban chatas, for example, the case if he didn't want the lamp to get ruined, and that's why he's extinguishing it, or he wanted to preserve the wick, or he wanted the, so to speak, to preserve the oil. So therefore we said that a person is liable, and that is either that he forgot that it's Shabbos, or that he thought that extinguishing a candle on Shabbos is mutter. Shmamin of the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, he obviously, the Tanavah Mishnah is Rabbi Huda, that he's of the opinion of that malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa, that a malacha that's not needed for its own purpose, is only there to help for something else, that still a person is liable for it. And that is because this extinguishing of the candle is ein tzricha l'gufa. It's not necessary for the act of extinguishing itself. It's rather it's needed for something else, that either that the candle should not be lit, or that the lamp should not get ruined. And therefore, you don't really have a case of kibuy, of extinguishing, that is tzarach l'gufa, that is necessary for itself, only in the case of when you want to make a coal. You want to create a good wick or a coal. So therefore, when you make it, you want to singe it, you want it to burn, and then you want to put it out. That extinguishing is made so that the candle should be able to be lit well, very, very well the next time, which a lot of people do, husbands do, Arab Shabbos, they light the candles, they put it out, so now it's easier to be lit. That extinguishing is tzarach l'gufa. It's necessary for the active purpose that why you're extinguishing it. However, these other cases are not necessary for the act of extinguishing. It's for other purposes, because you wanted the oil or because you wanted to preserve the lamp. So therefore, since the town of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, and that is where we say in the case of the Sefer that although they're malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa yichayev, so the question the Gemara asks now is Reisha b'maya sikna. So what was the case of the Reisha talking about that it said all these different exemptions? If let's say you put out the candle so that a sick person can be able to fall asleep, or that the robber shouldn't see you, why are those cases considered a pater? And the question is, ibuchay lishish b'sakana, if we're talking about a sick person that there is danger to his life, and that it's a sakanas nefesh, and because of b'kuch nefesh, so that's permitted, so then mutim mibayileh. It shouldn't say that you're putter, that you're exempt. It should say that it's mutter likatchil, that you can go ahead and do it. It's permitted, not putter, because generally putter connotes that it's, so to speak, you shouldn't do it, but if you do it, that you're exempt. Here, if it's a chil yishish b'sakana, it's permitted, and you should go ahead and do that and turn out the candle so that the person shouldn't die. V'ibuchil yishim b'sakana, if we're talking about a sick person, that there is no danger to his life, z'chayev chatas mibayilei, you're not putter. It should say that you're liable to carbon chatas, and that is, since we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, as we proved from the Sefer, that is, he does not say a person is exempt because it's a malacha she'in tzricha l'gufa that's not necessary for the thing itself. So therefore, and we don't have the het b'kuch nefesh because we're talking about a chayla that there is no danger to his life. So why do we say that for a sick person to be able to fall asleep, that you're putter, why is it any different in the cases of the sefer where both of them are not necessary, they're not turning it into a charcoal or into a wick. It's a malacha that's not necessary for the malacha itself, for the object that you're doing the kibbutz on. It's for something else. Someone can fall asleep, or so that you could protect the lamp. Either way, they're in the same category. So why in the Reisha are you potter, and the Sefer are you chayv? So the Gemara says, "Lo'ilam u'chayla sheish b'zakana." In truth, we're talking about a case of a sick person that there is danger to his life. Just like all the other cases of the Reisha, where there was robbers and other cases where you want to protect the person's life. U'bedinu delis nimut, and in truth, we should have said that it's permitted, not that you're exempt, because there is no Reisha at all. I did the boy lemisna seifa chai, but since we wanted to say the seifa, which is the converse that to say that the person is liable, where let's say you do it because you want to protect the lamp or because you want to have the oil, so tamen nami reisha pater, so a way of, so to speak, consistency in the terminology, we said that you're exempt because that's the opposite of liable. But in truth, we could have said that the person is permitted because when it's for chayla sheish b'sakana, when it's danger to life, you're allowed to put out the candle, and it's not that you're just exempt, but that initially you shouldn't do it. But then the Gemara asked, "What did Tani Rabbi Yishai?" But this that Rabbi Yishai had learned, that im b'shvil ha-chaylish yashin, if it's being done for a sick person, that he has to, that so he could fall asleep, that he said lo yichabe, you should not extinguish it. But if you did extinguish it, you're exempt, but it's forbidden. And that is, we see explicitly that he says that this case of potter is not just potter, that we want to say that really it's mutter, but we just used it as a way of keeping the same terminology for the reish and the seifa, but rather he says explicitly that it is forbidden. So now we say, hahi b'chayla she'im b'sakana. That case is talking about, it's different than the case of our Mishnah, although it sounds the same. It's going according to someone else. So in the case of a chayla, a sick person that does not have danger of life. Reb Shimon, he, and it's going according to the town of Reb Shimon, that he says a person is exempt if it's a malacha shein tzrich leguf. And since if it's being put out for a sick person to be able to fall asleep, it's not, so to speak, a malacha tzrich leguf of the extinguishing, it's rather for something else. And therefore, Reb Shimon holds that the person is going to be potter, and therefore it's not relevant to our mission, which our mission is going according to Yehuda. And therefore, we're saying it's talking about a case of malacha that's in a tzrich leguf, but it's a chayla shesh by sakanam, so therefore it's really mutter, but we say potter just to have the same consistency for the terminology of the sefer. Now the Gemara begins a larger gadata related to our Mishnah that will come up in the discussion. So it says, that the following question they asked from Reb Tancham that was from Navy, and they asked him, what is halacha? Are you allowed to extinguish a lit candle for a seriously ill person on Shabbos? Which is related to the discussion that we're talking about in our Mishnah regarding putting out a candle so that a sick person can fall asleep. So Pasach v'Amar, he opened up and he began, and that was their derech when they were going to give a drasha. They would first open up with words of Agadita, and that is which was really going to be related to the question that they asked him, and they used that as a speaking point regarding this question: if one is allowed to extinguish a candle for a sick person. So he said as follows in a dramatic way: he said, "Ana Shleima, you're Shleima, the Shleima Melech. An Chachmascha, where's your wisdom? An Sach L'Nusach, where's your understanding?" In other words, he was trying to provoke their interest, that he was telling Shlomo HaMelech, why are you called so smart? Not only is it that your words contradict the words of your father, David, but your own words contradict themselves. And he said as follows, David Avicha Amar, your father David said, until him, Loha Mesim Yehaluka, that the dead, they cannot extol God. And yet you say in Kehelas, that I praise the dead that have already passed away. So your father makes it sound like the dead are worse off. They cannot praise God, only the living can. And then yet you come ahead and say that the dead are, so to speak, better. I praise them, they're better off than the living. But not only that, then you go ahead and yourself in Kalis, you say, because for a live dog, he's better than the lion that passed away that's dead. In other words, you want to say that the living one is better, and that will be related to the halacha of Pekuach Nefashis, that there's the necessity to keep someone alive. So you just said you praise the one that's dead, and now you go ahead and say that the live, even a dog, is better than a dead lion. So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha. And this, he himself answered in his drush, and he said as follows. This is David said that the dead, they cannot extol, they cannot praise God. This is what he meant to say. He was trying to tell the person that a person should always toil in Torah and Hashem's commandments before he dies. And that a shakivin shemeis batam and atarim and mitzvahs, because once he dies, so then he's idled from the words of Torah and from mitzvahs. Ve'en laKadosh Baruch Hu shvach bo, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no honor in him. Behind the Amr Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan said. The Maidah said, what does it mean, the pshat and the pasuk in Tehillim, be'meisim chafshi, that among the dead who are free, that is, kivin shemeis adam, once a person dies, nasa chavshim in atarim and mitzvahs, he becomes free from Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore he said, lo ha'meisim ha'luka. Once you're dead, it's over. You can't praise God anymore. Therefore, so to speak, chapa right now, when you're still alive. But and this that Shlomo said, that I praise the dead that have already passed away, that is, that's talking about, as the Gemara is going to say, that they toiled their whole life in Torah and mitzvahs, and then they died. So those type of people, they're fitting to be praised even more than the tzaddikim that are still alive. As we know, there's a cloud that gedolim hei b'mesasim mechayim, tzaddikim are greater when they're dead than when they're alive. As the Gemara says, sheke shechatu Yisrael b'midbar, because when the Jews sinned in the desert. Amen Moshe b'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ama. So Moshe b'nei stood up and he said to Hashem, kama tfilos v'sachanun l'fan ablaynen. He said so many different prayers and requests to Hashem, and he was never answered for all the things that he requested. And there was no one greater tzaddik than Moshe b'nei in his days, and still he wasn't answered in his own merit. However, when he said, Hashem, remember Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakovinu, your servants, right away he was answered. So isn't it proper this that Shlomo said that I praise the dead that have already passed away? In other words, the others that were the tzaddikim, once they were dead, they were able to intercede more than Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the tzaddik of his dar. So that is Shabech Nisamesim, the dead that have already lived a life of Torah mitzvahs, they're greater even the ones that are alive now. And therefore it's not contradictory to what his father said. And to what himself said regarding who is better, the dead or the alive, it depends in regard to what. Another explanation of the pasuk of Shabech and the Asamesim, that I praise the dead that have already passed away, that's the ones that have died first, and then the ones who have died now. And that is the early ones that have died are better than the ones that are dying now. And as the Gemara is going to say, that you could see this from the fact, from the different decrees that Moshe Rabbeinu had made in his times, that they're still extant, they're still around today. And however, the different kings that have passed away, their decrees are already gone and abolished, no one keeps them anymore. As the Gemara says, Min Hagish Olayim, the custom of the world is, Melech Basav Adam, Goyze Gezer, that a flesh and blood king, he makes a decree. Suffik Mekayim Anaisa, Suffik Ein Mekayim Anaisa. So there's a doubt if people are going to fulfill it or they're not going to fulfill it. V'em Tim Tzolem Mekayim Anaisa, and even if you're going to say that they're going to fulfill his decree, B'chayiv Mekayim Anaisa, but when he's alive, they'll fulfill it. But Maisa Ein Mekayim Anaisa, no one's going to keep his decrees, his laws when he's already dead. V'ila Moshe Rabbeinu, but regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gazer Kama Gzeris, V'tikin Kama Dekos, he made many decrees, and he instituted many ordinances. And as the Gemara Megillah says, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesaka Meklai Yisrael, that they should ask and they should lecture in the inyanim of the day when it comes to the different Yom Tovim. So he made certain takanas that are still around today. And they have been around for generations. Isn't it proper what Shlomo Melech said, that I praise the ones that have died? In other words, the earlier ones that have died. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away thousands of years ago, that he's much better than the ones, the kings that have been around just a few hundred years ago, and no one keeps their laws anymore. Another pshat in this pasuk, Avishabech ani v'goyim, that I praise the dead that have passed away. It's as Rabbi Yehuda Merav had said. Rabbi Yehuda Merav, what's the understanding of the pasuk of Tehillim that says, Asei mi ois l'toyva, David HaMelech said, display for me a sign for the good, the Yerusayin abi avoshu, that my enemies should see, and they'll be ashamed. So he explained the pasuk as follows. David HaMelech said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, Mechayli al Oisei Oven, forgive me for that sin. And that sin means the sin of the affair with Bathsheba, that this was something that David HaMelech fasted and did tshuva for his whole life. So that was the sin that he was concerned about. So Amalei Mechayli, Hashem said, you are forgiven. So Amalei, and this is what the pasuk is saying, Asei imi ois b'chaya, make for me a sign when I'm in my lifetime, that to show that I was forgiven for the sin, that I had done proper tshuva. Amalei b'chayecha ein imedi, says, in your lifetime, I'm not going to let it be known. But in the lifetime of your son Shlomo, I'm going to let it be known that you were forgiven for the sin. Kishabana Shlomo has Beis HaMikdash, so it says that when Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, Bikush lahachnis aron lebeis kodesh hakodeshim, so he attempted to enter and bring in the aron, the holy ark, into the kodesh hakodeshim, to the holiest of the holies. Davkush aron zebezeh. However, the gates clung one to the other. These are the gates of the entrance to the kodesh hakodeshim. They closed and didn't let the aron come in. So Amar Shlomo Esterim va'aber renonis v'lenana. Shlomo Melech said 24 different songs of prayer. And that is, as it says, all the different terminologies, Rina, Tfila, Tchina, all these that are written by the Tfila of Shlomo, until 24 of them. And he wasn't answered. Pasach v'amah, so then he went and said the following pasuk. Su'u sh'ar m'sheichem, raise up your heads, O gates, v'hinasu pischayolim, and be lifted up, you everlasting entrances. Of course, this is a reference to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. V'yaveh melech ha'kovet, let the King of Glory enter. So it says that Ratu Basri Lemivle, the gates ran after him to swallow him up. And that is because they thought that he's referring to himself, that he's the Melech HaKavod, he was the King of Klal Yisrael, he's the King of Glory. So the gates said to him, who is this Melech HaKavod? As the Gemara says, Amru, mi hu zeh Melech HaKavod? Who's this King of Glory? What does this mean? You think you're the Melech HaKavod? So he says, no. Amru, Hashem iziz v'gibur. It's Hashem, the mighty one, the strong one. And this is all the continuation of all the different psukim in that Perek and Tehillim. Chazav Amman, then he went back and he said, to clarify and to continue, he said, Su'u sh'am r'sheichem, raise up your heads, O gates, u'su'u pischayolim, and be lifted up, you everlasting entrances, v'yaveh melech ha'kavod, and let the King of Glory enter. Mi hu zeh melech ha'kavod? Who is this King of Glory? Hashem Tzavokos, who it's Hashem that's the Lord of hosts, melech ha'kavod tzali, is the King of Glory. However, lo nena, he still wasn't answered. Ki ibn Shama, once he said, which is the pasuk brought down, Dibre Yamim, Hashem Likim, Al teshav pnei meshechacha. Do not turn away your anointed one. Zachru lechazdei David avdecha. Remember the pieties of David your servant, in reference to his father David. Miyad nena. Right away he was answered. So therefore the Gemara says, ba'is eshoa nefru pnei kol soini David kishuli kedera. At that moment, all his enemies had their faces turned black like the bottom of a pot. In other words, these were the family of Shaul and of Shimei and all the his types of enemies that he had throughout his lifetime. Their face turned black because they saw, as the pasuk says, "V'yedu kol ha'om v'chol yisrael shamach la'Kadosh Baruch Hu lo yisrael oven." The whole nation of Klal Yisrael saw that Kadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven him that sin, and that was what Hashem told him, that and during the lifetime of your son Shlema, I will give a sign to show that you were forgiven. And therefore, that's what the Gemara says. Isn't it proper what Shlomo said, that I praise the dead that have already passed away? That is, the one that wasn't even around anymore, his father David, in his merit, the gates opened and let the Aron come in, and that was the ones that have already passed away. And the Gemara concludes, and this is what the Pasuk in Malachim says, that that on the eighth day that Shlomo Melech sent the nation back home, and they blessed the Melech, they blessed Shlomo. They went back to their tents joyful and with hearts full of joy. Regarding all the good that Hashem had done for his servant David and for his whole nation of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara elaborates and explains what all these different components of the Pasuk mean. This that they went to their tents, that Shematsu Nishasein B'tar, that means that they found their wives in a state of purity. And that's because oil is always that ishtay zubesa, a person's wife is called his house. So when they went back to their tents, that they found their wives in purity. Smechem, they were joyful. That means shenenu mizivashchin. That's because they were delighted from the divine radiance of the divine presence. V'tayvi lev, and they were with hearts full of goodness. Shenis abru nishaseim shkol echad ve'echad v'yaldezach. That's because the wives of all of every one of these conceived and gave birth to a male, and that's they had hearts of joy because of that. Al kol ha'tayva she'asa Hashem leDavid avdi, because of all the goodness that Hashem had done to his servant David, that was shemach alay alay seven, as we just mentioned, that he had forgiven him for the sin of Bathsheba. Uli Yisrael amen. What was the good that Hashem did for his nation Klal Yisrael? That is the achel hu oven Yom Kippur, that he forgave for them the sin of Yom Kippur. And that is, on that year when they had done the Chanukah Sabayis of the Beis HaMikdash, they ate and drank on Yom Kippur. As it says, that for the 7 days of the Yom Tov and the 7 days before that, which as the Gemara Ma'id Kut and Daf Tes says, and that was because they felt that the Simcha of the building of Beis HaMikdash should overrule the fasting on Yom Kippur. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them and said that it was a proper thing to do, and that was what he had done, the good for his Klal Yisrael, Li Yisrael Amar. So now he continued his drasha related to the Halacha, and related to the Pesukim we were talking about. Udukama Shlomo ki lekelav chai hu tov min ha'ari ha'meis. And this is Shlomo HaMelech said, that because a dog that's alive is better than the lion that's dead. And this is, again, not regarding the chashivas, but rather he's talking about now here regarding the halachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that's why he's bringing in this pasuk. K'tev Yehuda Merav. Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, that there's a story that will illustrate this pasuk, and it will show us regarding the halachas significance about the halachas of Shabbos. So he says, Maitre said, what does it mean in the pasuk? Hoydeyeni Hashem Kitzi. That David HaMelech asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me my end, umidas yomai mahi, and the measure of my days, what is it? Eda machodelani, let me know when I will cease. I wanted to know when he's going, how long he's going to live for, when he's going to die. So I'm a devil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David HaMelech said the following three statements to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world, hayyeni Hashem kitzi, let it be known to me my end, and that is, I want to know what's going to happen to me. So I'm a loy, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, gizer hi mofonai, she'im edin kitzi shal basav adam. That it's that we don't let it be known to people what's going to be their end, what's going to happen to them. So then he said the following request. Umidus yamimahi, let me at least know the measurement of my days. In other words, how long will I live? So Hashem responded, that it's a decree in front of me that a person does not know how long he's going to live, what age he will be. But then he said the final request, let me know when I will cease. In other words, what day will be the day of the week that I will pass away and not be anymore? So on that he exceeded the request. Amalei b'Shabbos Thomas, you're going to pass away on Shabbos. So he requested, Amos be'echad b'Shabbos. David HaMelech said, let me at least pass away on the Sunday. And that is so that people could be involved with me in my kavura and we're doing a hesped, because on Shabbos you can't do any of these things. So Amalei, Hashem responded to him, Kvar higia malchus shleima bincha. I can't do that. I can't let you live one day longer because it has already reached the reign of Shlomo, your son. And that is that different reigns cannot encroach on one or the other, even like a hair breadth. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has it so calculated when one king is supposed to start and the other one stop. I can't let you go another day longer because Shlomo is supposed to start already from when you pass away on Shabbos. So he says, okay, let me take away some of my time. Almost by Erev Shabbos, let me die on Friday. So Amalei, so he responded to him with a pasuk in Tehillim that you already said, now, because it's better a day in your courts than a thousand, which is, that it's better for me, as you yourself said, one day that you're sitting and toiling in Torah, in your courtyard, better than a thousand different karbonos of Eila that your son Shlomo is going to bring for me on top of the Mizbeach, which is that you yourself said that that's better. And that is, as the Pasuk of Malacha says, that there will be a time when Shlomo HaMelech will bring Elef Oilis Yala Shlomo. And in spite of that, I can't let you pass away a day earlier because it's more precious for me, your day that you're going to live. I can't have Shlomo already start because then I'm going to be missing out your day of learning that's still part of your Cheshmet. So we continue on Talmud Beis. So therefore it says, what did David Melech do? Kol Yemid Shabbat Ha'ava Yosef Agaris Kul Yemah. Every Shabbos, he would sit and learn the entire day. And that is, every Shabbos from the whole year, he would sit so that the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, can't come close to him. That is because Torah protects a person, as the Gemara inside the Daf Chaf Aleph says. So therefore, this was his shield. However, that day, when it was supposed to be the day that he's going to pass away, the angel of death came in front of him, but he couldn't get close to him because he had this protection that he was learning Torah. His lips did not stop reading the words from Torah. So I'm in my Eved Lei. He says, what am I going to do? I have to kill him, but he's not letting me. So he did as follows. Havali Busna Chiri Beisei. There was an orchard behind the house where David HaMelech lived. Asa Malach HaMavis Salik Uvachish Beiloni. So the angel of death came, he ascended, and he shook the tree. And that is, he made these loud noises, shaking, so that David HaMelech should wonder, what's this noise? Nafik Lemechse. David HaMelech went out to see, but he was still learning Torah because he knew that he had to learn Torah the whole day. However, have a solik bedarga. He was going up the stairs. If his darga mitusip, so then the stair caved in a little bit under him. Ishtik. So for just a moment, he was quiet because of that shock of the step going down. Benoch navsha, and the soul passed away because he didn't have the protection of the words of Torah. So then the Gemara says, Shalosh Shlomo lebei Medrasha. Shlomo HaMelech sent the following two questions to the base of Medrash. He says, Abba meis umut b'chama. One thing, I have a problem with the honor of my father, that my father's dead and he's just laying there in the sun. And the second question he had was, Ukalavim shel beis ava re'evim, and the dogs of my father's house are hungry. And therefore he had to know the question to both these things. What should he do? Ma'esa, what should I do? So Shalchali, they sent to him, regarding the dogs that are hungry, you don't know what to do. Chadach nevel of hanach lefnei haklavim. Cut up a carcass, and you could put it in front of the dogs. There's no problem of muksa regarding the carcass, and that will take care of your problem with the dogs. However, avicha, hanach olav kikar oitinik v'tiltalai. You have to put on to him at least either a loaf of bread or a child, and then you can move your father because he's dead and he's mukta. You can't move him. So the only way, which is a specific, unique heter regarding a corpse, that to be able to move it because of the dignity, is that you could put on something on it that's permitted to move, like a loaf of bread or a child, and then as a base, you'll be able to move him to move those items. So therefore, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech said, "V'lo yofa omer Shlomo," isn't it correct what Shlomo HaMelech said? Ki lekelav chai hu tov min ha'arameis. That a live dog is better than a dead lion. And that is because to be able to do things for the dogs, he didn't have to change anything regarding the carcass. The carcass he was able to take and go ahead and feed to the dogs. However, regarding the dead lion, which was a reference to his father, that was the Ari, he was the king of Klai Yisrael, he was forbidden to move him only through a piece of bread or through a child. So therefore, and another pshat that Rashi brings is that they first answered him regarding the dog, and then they answered him regarding the lion, which was his father. And you see, so they gave precedence almost to the live dogs, because he's dead, you know what I'm saying? It's not as important, so to speak, as a live dog. So therefore he says, a live dog is better than a dead lion. That is, he couldn't even move his father because he was dead. He had to use some type of a ruse, whereas for the live dog, there was a ways of permitted to go ahead and feed him the carcass. So therefore, once someone passes away, he's already on a lower level than, a live dog. So now, Reb Tancha went back and went to refer to the question that was originally asked from him when he came up to give the drasha. He says, and he says, regarding the question that I had asked from you beforehand, And really, this was a way of humility. He was referring to the question about what's the halacha about extinguishing the candle for someone that's very sick. He was saying that he should have said that the question that you asked of me, but out of humility says, and the question that I have had asked of you. So he said as follows, Ner kruya ner, a candle is called a candle, the nishmas shaladim kruya ner, and the soul of a person is also called a candle. As the pasuk of Mishlei says, Ner lekim nishmas adam, that the candle of God is the soul of man. And therefore he says, we can equate the two of them, mutif techabe ner shal basa badam, ner shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Better let a candle of flesh and blood be extinguished instead of the candle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being extinguished. And therefore he was telling him that it's mutter, it's permitted to go ahead and extinguish the candle for someone that's very sick. However, this is not really the source of where we learn out that there's permitted to do Chil Shabbos for Pekuach Nefesh. That's because we learned that out from the pasuk of Chai Behem, that you should live with the mitzvahs and not that you should die through them. In other words, if a mitzvah stands in the way of a right of life, we, so to speak, we push away the mitzvah, we're over on Chil Shabbos, so that we can have the person's life. The only thing is that he wanted to give them a taste in Divrei Agadita that, so to speak, draws the heart and gets a person engaged in the halachic discussion. And that is because when those who would come to the drasha, to the lecture, would be women and people that were ignorant of the laws of Torah, so they had to, so to speak, give us something like a geshmaka, a type of an idea, so that they could be engaged. And therefore he said it to the like this, that better let the candle of a person to be extinguished, and not the candle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But truth, the halacha of Chil Shabbos for Bekuch Nefashis is learned out from the pasuk of Achai Behem, that you should live with them and not that you should die through the mitzvahs. And therefore, we're doicha Shabbos to let a person continue living. So now the Gemara continues. We had discussed regarding the contradictions that he said, oh, Shlomo, where's your wisdom? You contradict yourself. Regarding the contradictions in Kehelis that was written by Shlomo. Amar Yehuda Bereder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Meshmeder Rav. Bikshra Chacham Lignoi Sefer Kehelis. The sages wanted to conceal the Sefer of Kehelis. Because the words in Kehelis, they contradict each other. So the Gemara asked him, so why didn't they conceal it if it has these contradictions? So the Gemara said, because the beginning of the Sefer Kehelis are the words of Torah, and the end is also the words of Torah, and definitely in the middle there's also words of Torah. As the Gemara says, Tchilas HaDivri Torah, the beginning of the words of Torah, the Chsiv, as it starts off basically in the beginning, Ma Yisrin Lo'odim Mechalam Olei Sheyam Otach Seshamesh. What profit does a person have from all his toil that he toils under the sun? And the diik is, which are the words of Torah, Vami Deber Yanai, Tachas Hashem Ushu De'inle. It's only under the sun that a person has no profit. You don't really gain anything from all the work that you're doing. But Kodim Shemesh Yeshlai. But the toil that you do from something that which precedes the sun, that there is merit. And that's a reference to the toiling in the words of Torah, which was created before the sun. That there is benefit, and that's saying that the concepts, the fundamental principles of Torah. Sefer Divrei Torah, the end of the Sefer Kehelis are words of Torah. The Chsiv as this ends off, Seif Dover HaKol Nishma. The sum of the matter is, after everything is considered, Esor Lekim Yiro, Bez Mitzvah Svishamar. A person has to fear God and he has to keep Hashem's mitzvahs. Kizeh Kol Adam, because this is the entirety of man. To which the Gemara asks, what does it mean, my Kizeh Kol Adam? What does it mean, because this is the entirety of man? So the Gemara brings three different versions in descending order. The entire world was only created for this person. That's Kizeh Kol Adam. The whole person, the whole humanity, it's for this person that fears God. That's the highest level. Then the next pshat, he's equal in importance to the whole world. That's Kizeh Kol Adam. He's just like the entire humanity. And the lowest level is Shem B'Zayimah, and some say Shem B'Zayimah, Le'nivra Kol Olam Kula Ilud Savish L'Zeh. It's not that he's the only he's not the only thing why the world is created. And in other words, the rest of the world was created for a purpose, but it's only as an accompaniment to him. He is the, so to speak, the pinnacle. He's the apex. He's the climax. He's the reason why, the reason that tray why we created the world. But the entire world is also a purpose as an accompaniment to him, to help him complete his purpose. He's, so to speak, the head of the world. And that's why they did not conceal the Sefer of Kehelis, because it's, so to speak, full of words of Torah and Yerushalayim and fundamental principles of Yiddishkeit. However, the Gemara says, "Umay Dvarav Seisin says that." What does it mean that the words of the Sefer Kehelis contradict each other? Because it says, "Ksiv." On the one hand, it says, "Toiv Kas Mischek." Anger is better than laughter, which sounds like that laughter is not such a good thing. Uksiv Leschek Amartim Hol. And yet, it says that for laughter, I said that it's praiseworthy. So, is laughter good or not? Ksiv. It says, "V'shabachti Ani Es Simcha," that I have praised joy. Yet, Uksiv LeSimcha Mazois. It says, "And of joy, what does it accomplish?" So the Gemara says that in truth, they're not really contradictions. Loi kasha. Toiv kas mischek, what does it mean that anger is better than laughter? That's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's better the anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu get, so to speak, angers himself on the righteous in this world than the laughter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu laughs regarding the evil people in this world. And that is, he gives them the laughter in this world, so to speak, that they could consume their portion of what they're going to get. And therefore, they're not going to get anything from Olam Haba. So it's better the anger in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at you, so to speak, than the laughter that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you, which that a person's a Rasha, that he's getting such a good time here, it's so to speak, you're getting shortchanged, you're not getting anything. It's better to get the anger and get Olam Haba than Olam Haza. And what does it mean, L'schoik Amarti Mohel, that I said that for laughter that it's praiseworthy? That's in reverse. Zesh schoik Shemesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzadikim Olam Haba. That's the rejoicing and the laughter HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with the righteous in the world to come, and which is in contrast, obviously, to the Rishonim that don't get any of that in Olam Haba. And then regarding to the other contradiction, v'shabachti ani es simcha, that I've praised joy, zu simcha shel mitzvah, that's regarding the joy when the person does a mitzvah. For example, when he does achnasas kala, when they're bringing into the kala, to the chasna, everyone's happy, everyone's rejoicing, that is a good laughter, that's a good joy. Well, the simcha mazoi, so what does it mean? But and for joy, what does it accomplish? Zu simcha shein shel mitzvah, that's a joy that has nothing to do with a mitzvah. In other words, that's not going to accomplish anything. It's not going to have long-lasting effects. So what does this teach you? Lemetcha, it comes to teach you this difference between a simcha, of a joy, if it's for a mitzvah or not. She'in shchina show you that the divine presence did not rest. Lemetech atzvas, not through gloom. Lemetech atzvas, not through laziness. Lemetech schaik, and not through levity. And schaik means that a person that's just laughing, even if he's not laughing for something negative like latzanis, like mockery or lashon hara. But since when a person is laughing, he's not so his mind is not settled. He's not in a clear, focused frame of mind, and therefore he doesn't have the yishav adas to be able to have the shechina resting on him. But let me tell you, chal disroish, not through ridicule. That's obviously a very negative thing if he does latzanis, making fun of people. But let me tell you, zicha, not through chatter. But let me tell you, dramatelim, not through idle conversation. Let me tell you, dvar simcha shemitza, as we said. That's very important, that Sreik Amarti Mahoyla, that I said that it's going to be a good thing, that's the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, that's the Shabachti and Yesa Simcha, that's the Simcha Shal Mitzvah, that's a joy that a person has when he does a mitzvah. Shanem, like it says in the Pasuk, that it's integral to have this joy, to have the divine presence on the person, as it says, Va'ata now, Kchuli Menagin, take from me a musician, V'hoi Kenagin HaMenagin, and that it was as the musician played, V'atihi Alav Yad Hashem, and that the hand of Hashem was on Elisha, he requested that they should be playing music for him, that because that was a mitzvah that he should have the divine presence resting in him, that he could have the nevuah. That was only through a simcha shel mitzvah. It's important for a person to be joyous when he does a mitzvah, and that provides the divine presence, the shechina, to rest on him. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda v'chilin dvar halacha, the same thing applies to teaching Torah, that a person has to first start off with something light, and that is the simcha. A person has to have a simcha, joy, to have this continuity, this divine presence consistently with the person, only comes through simcha. And Amar Rava, Rava says, the same thing goes for a good dream, that if a person goes to sleep with joy, then he gets a good dream as he's sleeping. Because with negativity, he's going to have a negative dream. So the Gemara goes back and says, Ini, is that really true, that a person should, so to speak, be lightheaded, so to speak, have this certain joy when he's coming to learn Torah? He says that any student, any Talmud Chacham that's sitting in front of his Rebbe, his teacher, and his lips are not dripping with bitter dread, and that is, so to speak, because of awe and fear of his Rebbe and of the words of Torah, tichavena, he should be singed, he should be burnt. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, sivsaisav shishanim, his lips are like roses, neitvis mar over, and that is dripping this flowing myrrh, which is a type of a besam, type of a fragrant radiant, a fragrant smell. So the drush is, al tikri mar over, don't read it flowing myrrh, Elamar over, rather that it's passing bitterness. And al tikri shasham, don't read it that it's talking about roses. El shashainim, that they're the ones that are studying. And that is that the ones that are, their lips are from the ones that are studying. Shashainim, they should be dripping, passing bitterness. That is, they should be afraid and in awe. So how can we say that before we learn Torah, we should be, so to speak, in the light mode, so to speak, and joyful, when we say it should be awe and fear? So the Gemara said, Leikasha, Habarabba Habatamid. Regarding the Rebbe, he should be happy, he should be joy, he should be full of life and zest. Regarding the Talmud, he should be with this awe and this fear, and that's why it's not a contradiction. Viba Yisema, Hava Habarabba Leikasha, they're both talking about the Rebbe. And how do we resolve that? Should he have this fear and awe, or should he be, so to speak, light and be engaging the students? Hamik made the lepasach, had the lebasach pasach. When we said that he should be full of joy and said to speak, say something light, that's before he starts his shir. After he starts his shir, then he should have the awe and the fear of Torah on him. As the Gemara says, "Kira the Rabbi," as Rabbi used to do. Make made the pasach lul rabbanon. Ami milsa dibdchuse obat rabban. Before he opened up his shir that he was giving to the rabbanon, to the sages, he would first say something humorous, and then the talmid chacham, they would laugh. And then the harp would be open because of the joy. It opens up a person and engages him. And therefore, they would be able to be receptive to the words of Torah he was teaching him. Vasayif, at the end, Yosef Bey Masa, Pasach HaShemayitz, and then he would sit with trepidation and the awe and the fear, and he would show them the greatness and the awe of the words of Torah. And he would start his learning, and that is so he was able to incorporate both entities, one of, so to speak, opening them up first, and then having this, so to speak, this awe and this fear of what we're doing is something great, and it shouldn't be just, so to speak, with levity and with a lax type of attitude of learning the words of Torah. Similarly, the Gemara says that, as we said regarding the Sefer of Kehelis, that they wanted to conceal it because it had all these, so to speak, contradictions. The Av Sefer Mishlei Bikshu Lignis, also the book of Proverbs of Mishlei that Shlomo HaMelech had written, they also wanted to conceal that. Shehidvar V'Soysen Zezek, because they also had internal contradictions. And so why didn't they conceal it? So Amri Sefer Kehelis Lav Oyin Meshkechin Taima, isn't it the case by the Sefer of Kehelis that we also looked into it and we found resolutions to the contradictions? Let us look into here and we'll find that it's, if we go a little bit deeper, as many contradictions are, that there's really a deeper truth that both of them are true. Umay Dvar V'Soysen Zezek, which were the words that seemed to be contradictory in the Sefer of Mishlei? Seems to be almost explicit. Ksiv on the one hand, it says, Al tan ksil ki valte. Don't answer a fool as his folly. Just ignore him. Don't respond as the same foolishness that he's talking. Yet, Uksiv it says, Anik ksil ki valte. Respond to a fool in his folly. How do we resolve that? So we say, Loikasha habidivri Torah habimil d'alma. Regarding the words of Torah, if he has a question that seems foolish, but it's something regarding the words of Torah, then you should respond to him. But if it's something regarding general matters, don't answer him. Forget about it. Don't get involved. Don't get entangled in his foolishness. As the Gemara brings a proof, Kihada hudas lekamei the Rebbe, there was this person that came in front of Rebbe. Amalei ishtocha ishti uvanecha vane. He says, Rebbe, you know what? Your wife is really my wife, and your kids are my kids. So he's saying something very foolish. So Amalei, he didn't respond to him. He said something totally different. He says, Ritzayin chesha tishta kesha. Yan, do you want to drink with me a cup of wine? Shasa opaka, he drank and he burst. And that is, he said, forget about it, don't respond, don't get involved in this mess which you won't gain anything by engaging him. Similarly, the Gemara brings a similar incident. Your mother is my wife, and you're my son. So Amalei, and again, he said, forget about it, this guy is crazy. He says, do you want to drink with me a cup of wine? He drank and he burst. So Amr Reb Chiya commented regarding the story of Rebbe. Ahani leit slusli Rebbe. You know what? Rebbe's tefillas worked, and that is the lishavi b'nei mamzer, that his sons should not be considered as mamzerim, because there was this person almost that slandered and saying that, you know, your wife is my wife, and therefore your children are my children. Therefore, there will be this suspicion about that his sons are bastards, that they're mamzerim. His tefillas helped, that no one should ever have made such a claim against him. The Rebbe kev amasiyam, because when Rebbe used to daven, he used to say the following tefilla. Yiratzim lefanecha Hashem lekeinu, may be you will Hashem my God. Shetatzlein hayoyim ma'azifonim u'ma'azizponim. This is the tefillah we all say at the end of Birchas HaShachar, that may you save me today from brash persons, and that is, this is someone that shouldn't harm me, because he's someone that has a very outrageous person, u'ma'azizponim, and from the trait of brashness. In other words, that there should not be a name about my sons that they're mamzerim, which is, that mamzerim are people that are azifonim, that they have this trait of brashness. And therefore he asked, this was part of his tefillah, that there should never be such a suspicion about my children. His tefillah helped, although sometimes we don't see that, but this is that he was saying that this incident could have blown up. It didn't, because of the tefillah that Rebbe had always said. So now the Gemara says, so that's regarding, don't respond to him regarding mila de alma, things of mundane matters. Regarding the words of Torah, that we said that a person should respond as to the foolishness of that the person's asking. Mahi, what's such a case? The Gemara says, Kihadi Yosef Rabbi Gamliel v'kadash. As it was that Rabbi Gamliel was sitting and he was giving a lecture. Asida Isha Shetel b'chol yom. He says that it will ultimately be destined that a woman, in the times of when Mashiach will come, that a woman will give birth every single day. Shenema, like it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Harava Yeledes Yachtav, that she will conceive and give birth together. And that is on the day that she's conceiving, she's giving birth to a different child as a hen. And that is since they have relations every single day. So they give birth every single day. And that's the mashmaus of the pasuk, that every time that they become pregnant, they give birth. That is, they're very quick to finish completing the child in a very short amount of time. They don't need the 9 months. So therefore, they will be giving birth on the same day that they're conceiving. So the Gemara says, "Ligligal avoyis tamad." There was a certain student that scoffed and laughed at this. He quoted from a pasuk. Says there's nothing new under the sun. What's going on? How are they going to be giving birth and getting pregnant on the same day? It's impossible. What are you telling me that when Mashiach come, that the whole human anatomy and physiology is going to change? Says, come, I'll show you an example like it is in this world. In other words, he went out of his way to answer like his foolish question so that he could solidify and show the truth or the words of Torah that is true. And even something today in the common era, I could show you something that it's exactly like this case. He went and showed him a hen. You see, a hen gives birth and conceives on the same day. So if you see, it's not so crazy to imagine that when Mashiach will come, we will also have that same characteristics. The Suyas Rav Gilu B'Kadosh, and again Rav Gilu was sitting and he was lecturing. He said, "Asid milonishem mitzin peis b'chayim." Ultimately, the destiny will be that trees will be giving forth fruits every single day, not just like seasons as it is now, once a year, twice a year. Shnem, like it says in Pesuk in Yecheskel, "V'nosa anaf," that bring forth branches, "V'asaferi," and bring and bear fruits. And what's the comparison between the branches and fruits? That ma'anaf b'chayim, just like branches, they're continuously growing every single day. So two fruits will come out every day. So legally, Levi said, "Tell me that student laughed and scoffed at him." There's nothing new under the sun. What do you tell me? The whole world's going to be topsy turvy. So says again, he went to answer him because he wanted again. When it comes to rewards of Torah, you should respond to the foolish questions. Come, I'll show you some example like that. Like it is even today. He went and showed him the caper bush. And that the caper bush is a type of tree that has three different types of fruit products. It has what's the avionis, which are the actual fruits. It has the kafrisin, which are the shoots. And it has the lulav, and it has the flowers. And when this one's doing it, that one's not doing it. And as the Gemara in Chesabatim says, it's continuously providing and producing fruits. So he says, you see the same thing now. It's continuously bringing forth fruits. So it's not so strange that we're going to have the same thing when Mashiach will come. The Suyas of Gilu B'Kadosh, another time Rav Gilu was sitting and he was lecturing, said, "Asida Eretz Yisrael shetetze glus kaisu klei milas." Eretz Yisrael will ultimately bring forth complete bread rolls, not like grain that you have to make and do everything. It will come out bread rolls, and it will klei milas, and it's going to be fine wool clothes. It's going to come out straight out of the ground. Shnema, as he quoted him a pasuk in Tehillim, "He pisas bar ba'aretz," that there should be an abundance of grain in the land, and that is. That word pisas bar is it has the mashmoyis is gluskois that we said regarding these rolls, that is, since they're flattened out, they're wide and flattened out like the palm of a hand. And that is the word pisas, which is that's a person's palm is called pas yad. So when it says pisas bar, is the pas is a reference to the rolls that are flattened out like the palm of a hand. That's going to come out, that he pisas bar baritz, that is going to be pas. A flattened out roll in the land. It also connotes these fine wool clothes, this kli milas, because the word pas has the word ksenis pasim, which is the word used by the striped cloak by that Yosef Hatzadik got from his father Yaakov over the other brothers. It's called ksenis pasim, so that we see that pas is a reference to fine wool clothing. So we see the reference of pisas, that it's going to be like that. And similarly, the word bar means grain, so obviously that's a reference to the rolls that are going to come out. And bar is also related to the fine wool clothing, to the kli milas, because bar also can mean clearing and clear, like it says barak achama, like clear like the sun. So that's the word, again, yehi pisas bar ba'aretz was a reference. He was showing him there's going to be pas pesamach, that there's going to be this flattened bread is going to come straight out. And also this ksenis pasim, this fine wool clothing will come straight out of the ground. So legally, the way said Thomas, the student laughed at him. There's nothing new under this. Somebody tell me rolls are going to be popping out of the ground. Lollies are going to come out of the trees. What does that mean? So come, I'll show you an example like that in this world. He went and showed him mushrooms and truffles. And that is, these are things that come out overnight. And they pop out and they're wide and they're round like rolls. It looks almost like a roll. And Vaklei Melis, regarding this fine woolen clothing, he showed him Navra Bar Kaira. Showed him the bast of the palm heart. That is, there's a bast that comes out almost like a woolly-like material that surrounds this kohar shel dekel, which is this certain branches that come out of the tree, the palm tree, where they're soft. They come out every year, and that before they get hard, they're called this kohar. So that is like almost like a woolly thing. It's almost like a, and sometimes people, they use it for making certain type of rope things. So you see, it's almost like a wool clothing that's coming out of this, as a bast, around this palm shoot. So he's showing him that, look, you see, almost like a full article of clothing is coming out. So therefore he said, I could show you the same idea of fine woolen clothing and pieces of, and rolls of bread coming out, as he showed him with the mushrooms and this, so to speak, this thing that surrounds the palm shoots, that's almost like a wool jacket around it. So therefore, again, this is the resolution of the stira that we said that, do you answer to a fool or do you not answer to a fool? Those are the contradictions. They didn't conceal the sefer of Mishlei because they resolved it by showing that regarding Inyani de Alma, you don't talk to him. If you say someone says it's his wife or your wife is his wife, you say you just ignore him. And regarding the words of Torah, you respond and you even show him and you gave him answers, that because our Torah has answers, and therefore we want to answer to show the fundamental principle of Torah that it's true, and that's what a person should do. He should be anixil bevalta regarding the words of Torah.